this out. How will you stand next to me? For we both know it's more than a load for you to bear. It breaks my heart, but I'd understand if you'd leave me for another man with a little less on his mind, less on his plate, less in his brain.
I don't want to use that one. I lied. We gotta hit it back.
I don't stand in line, I don't pay for clothes for that, yeah.
Damn, I gotta start over and mess up. But
I don't stand in line, I don't pay for
I don't stand in lines, I don't play for clubs.
I don't stand in line, I don't pay for clothes.
I don't stand in line. If I gotta do this one more game. Yeah. I don't stand in line, I don't pay for clothes.
I don't stand in line, I don't pay for clothes for that, yeah. But I wait for you. I don't like to drink, I don't like to think for that, whoa, whoa. But I ponder you, oh, I'm bending it over.
Hold on, hold the horses. What's up, y'all? Robin here checking in. We back, and today I'm finna rant. I'm finna riot on that ass. What's up, y'all? I hope y'all are feeling great on this Saturday, you feel me? Spring is trying to sprung all through, you feel me? And we're overdue. I don't know why spring is real hesitant this year. This might be our last days. I'm actually concerned. So they tried to warn us about global warming. I hope you're happy because now it's too late. But I'm going to soak up as much of my life as I can before the world just dissolves. I just want y'all to know that they warned us about this back in the day. Okay? They said climate change, climate control was real. We need something to do about that. Nonetheless, we have new vibes coming with spring. And there are some things that are going down right now. I want to touch on a few topics with y'all that I just got to get off my fucking chest. But first off, as you heard me playing, that's some Daniel Caesar, okay? So Daniel Caesar is back. And we are going to talk about Daniel Caesar and cancel culture and why cancel culture is so important. Still, I've had a few people, you know, voice their opinion online in regards to cancel culture and feel like there's no need for it to be. It's a bullying method. It doesn't hold any weight. Well, let me tell you that we indefinitely canceled Daniel Caesar. So if you've been living under a rock for the past like decade or so, then you don't know that he was canceled out. But he was. He made some comments back in 2018, 2017 about black folks. And y'all already know we don't play that shit. I don't even know why y'all keep playing with us, okay? Okay? So it was in regards to defending white people and basically saying we got to bridge the gap and how he didn't care if he got canceled, okay? That's what he said. He didn't care if he got canceled, which led to him, in fact, being canceled as fuck. Now he is back. It's 2023, so it's been a while. He did drop a single, however, last year that nobody apparently gives a fuck about because he's in fact canceled. But he's back again this year, and he has a new album that is out now, okay? He has a new album that's out, Never Enough. So, of course, he wants to kind of, you know, redefine, reintroduce himself, hopefully to a newer audience, but to also apologize. So apparently there is a clip going around right now of him apologizing. I'm going to go ahead and play this for y'all so you can hear what he said.
I completely understand where, like, the response. And I was, yeah, in time, after taking time to get over myself and to really honestly look at myself and everything that was happening, like, I was wrong, you know? I was wrong, and, you know, I'm sorry.
Do I feel like that was a real apology? Abso-fucking-lutely not. Okay? Daniel Caesar was canceled indefinitely. So much so that when he dropped his second album, I believe, Case Study, was it Case Study 101 or 01? I believe it was Case Study. That the sales dropped tremendously. So much so that the record label, or I didn't want to say record label, so much so that he didn't release anything for a while, okay? Because he had to take some time for the shit to kind of die down a little bit, for it to fall off the surface before he could reemerge. Now, all of a sudden, he's back and he has new music, and of course, he needs the sales. Now, Daniel has addressed this once before, okay? He did address this once before. However, we didn't give a fuck about it, and we decided to keep him canceled. Now, he is humbly apologizing. I don't think that that was a really sincere apology, to be honest with you. However, he knows that he had to bring that shit up again in order for us to even consider listening to the fucking album. So I'm going to play one of the older videos when he was talking crazy. And I'm going to let y'all listen to what he was saying. So much, but
this, we're like talking about something serious. So I'm like, I don't want to talk about shows or like being, you know, like artist stuff. Why, as I don't know which black people are in here, but I want you guys to talk up right now. Why do we?
Oh, I saw it here. I heard something. Jealous.
Why are we being so mean to Jules? Why are we being so mean to white people right now? That's a serious question.
Can you pass me the
line? Why is it that we're allowed to be disrespectful and rude to everybody else? And when anybody returns any type of energy to us, that's not equality. I don't want to be treated like I can't take a joke. I just went through that the fucking Chappelle shit, and I had to, like, in the moment, acknowledge that I was being fucking sensitive. Sometimes, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes. That I need to be able to take a joke just like everybody else.
No.
That's what it is. People are allowed to say what the fuck they want. And I'm allowed to feel how I want, but it's like, am I gonna fight them, or am I gonna accept what they have to say and keep it fucking moving? Why are, like, I only treat people that I don't respect and don't think that they can take a joke. I think that they're less than me. Those are the only people that I don't fucking say my honest opinion around. And that's disrespect. White people have, I see what you're saying. White people have been mean to us in the past. I have a, like, what are you gonna do about that? Tell me what you're gonna do about that. There's no answer other than gaining understanding and keeping it moving. That's some biblical shit.
Yo, bridging the gap, man.
You have to bridge the gap. I'm sorry, yo, I'm drunk as fuck right now, okay? But I don't care. That's not helping.
So that was the video, one of the videos that he made back in the day. And yeah, that's what was said. So do you feel like he really is sorry? Do you feel like he really humbly apologized for that? I don't know. I don't really like the apology that he gave, to be honest with you, because he's only giving it out again due to the fact that he has an album that's out. So it's all a part of promotion and marketing. But the thing about black folk is that we ain't gonna never forget the shit you said. Like, we may forgive, but we don't forget. And every chance we get to bring that shit up, baby, we gonna bring it the fuck up. So I hope Daniel understands the severity of what he said and how impressionable that is to other people in his fan base. White people aren't the only people that buy your music. They're not the only people that listen to you. So for you to intentionally block out a sector of your fan base that does have a connection with you because you are black, let's just put it out there, for one. And two, connecting with your music, just you as an artist, is stupid as fuck. Especially when any chance you get to be interviewed by a black person or you're on a black platform, we're going to bring that up. So the new interview was done by Apple Music. So you can catch that on Apple if you have Apple. You can look it up on YouTube as well to see it. He talks about his new album and kind of briefly glances over this whole situation. But to me, cancel culture is needed because it holds people accountable. You know what I'm saying? It's a different type of punishment that we can't really give you, per se. However, we're not going to fuck with you. And you're going to feel that a little bit harder. So am I going to listen to the album? Yeah, I'm going to listen to it. I'm not going to say it's fire. I'm not going to bump it, whatever the case may be. But I did glance at it, and there are no favorite songs as of yet. So the album has been out it's only been out a couple of days, so it still has time to circulate, but I haven't heard any snips, any leaks, any singles from this album prior to, so I really think this is a break or make moment for him as an artist right now, especially with everybody kind of getting these redemption moments and an opportunity to apologize and kind of reemerge back. This is a moment for him. It's a sink or swim, you feel me? Like, it's already, you know, somewhat good enough that you gave a half-ass apology. But if the music ain't hitting on top of the dry-ass apology, my boy, we're going to have to leave your ass back with that peroxide hair that you had when you made that video telling us to be nice to white people. And I'm not racist at all. I always have to put that disclaimer out. I love all those who treat me well. However, I am a black woman, and I'm very aware of racism in our historic racism. So Daniel Caesar is back. Let me know if y'all rocking with him, if you not rocking with him, if you feel like he needs to stay where he at, or we need to go ahead and let him back at the barbecue, because it's finna be summer. You know what I'm saying? He probably hungry. He probably been starving. You feel me? Money ain't circulating because the streams ain't coming. Should we let Daniel Caesar back into our culture? Should we let him back into music? Because essentially, we do have the power. We affected his sales so bad that this time he had to do a whole rollout in order for us to listen to the music. So I'm keeping cancel culture. I love cancel culture. It holds motherfuckers accountable as it should. And it's something that we need. It's social justice, social media justice. Now, next up, this topic then had me on the floor. Okay, this topic didn't have me on the floor. First off, Pillow Talk tweets always going up, fucking crazy, and I love it. Absolutely. I gotta get back to posting, but if you are on Twitter, follow me, E93 Robin. I'm always on there talking shit, but I'm always retweeting things because I get a lot of topic inspiration from Twitter. Twitter is first for everything. Any trending story that you see on the news, baby, it was on Twitter at 1 a.m. No cap. So this was a tweet that I saw today, and I literally been crying because I went through the whole thread. So this guy said, first time he ate some cat, he rode home with the window down, just spitting. Just nasty, just doing whatever. And I just want to know, y'all out here with some nasty tasting Gucci? First off, do y'all taste y'all own coochie? Because you can. You know what I'm saying? Especially if you fucking with a real nigga and he, you know, he eating you out or whatever the case is. You should be able to taste a little bit of that on your mouth. You feel me? On your lips. But I've never had a situation where a man said you taste bad. Now, that also leads me to my second question. Do y'all tell a woman that she tastes bad as you're tasting her? This is a serious conversation to have right now, okay? Because it's one thing for us to blame men for BV and, you know, STDs and making us stink. But if you come over stinking off bat, it's a problem, okay? I don't think I need to go back down the hygiene trail, but if need be, so be. However, this tweet had me on the flow. People was just talking shit. One topic or one comment in specific talked about she must have had a long day, pheromones, shit like that. The conversation of pussy and pussy maintenance is always on the chopping block, it seems like, right? I could sit up here and shred the dick apart word by word. What I'm going to do is give y'all a lesson and keep it 100 because somebody lying. Now, in addition to this tweet, we go into another tweet because y'all was on the roll with the coochie tweets. All this talk about waxing for the first fuck or not is letting me know that y'all coochie is mid. It don't take all that for a nigga to know this coochie is the best. He gonna comb that hair to the side and eat. Okay? He gonna comb that hair to the side. He gonna part the Red Sea. You feel me? And he gonna eat. So some of the comments on this shit was really funny as hell, but I gotta share it. I gotta share it with y'all, okay? Now, the thing is, for one, men don't even be caring about hair. So we get into the conversation of bald pussy versus hairy pussy, okay? Waxing versus shaving. Again, coochie, you know, aesthetic is always up on a chopping block, whatever. But we all know that when the moment comes, your dick is the one doing the thinking for you anyway, and all your dick is thinking about is getting wet. So let's keep it 100. But there's this whole fakery of men going around saying they don't eat pussy, they don't fuck no bitch. I'm sorry, they don't fuck no woman that has a hairy coochie. And there's so many women that are saying they've never had a man not fuck them with the hairy coochie. So somebody's fucking lying. You know what I'm saying? Like, who is lying? Now, from personal experience, I'm going to throw it out. I'm going to keep it funky because I feel like we family. I personally have never had a man not eat my pussy or not fuck me because I was hairy. Now, they say, you know what I'm saying? Grass don't grow on a busy street. That's what they say. Now, that doesn't mean that taking care of your coochie, keeping it cut, keeping it waxed, or whatever the case, indicates that you sleep around. But a lot of women usually, you know, bring up a man or bring up having hair when they haven't, you know, been sexual in a long time because they know men will see that off bat. And we be like, damn, you know, we a little hairy. It's been a while. It's always been about 3 months. And, you know, we want that first time to be nice. We don't want you to be down there doing all of that. We don't want you to be, you know, corn rolling it out. We want it to be smooth. We want it to be that. However, grown-ass men, baby, they don't give no fuck about no hair. I mean, let's just keep it funky. Grown-ass men don't give a fuck about hair. Coochie. The word in itself is a throwback word. When you think of coochie, you should think of some hairy pussy. It should absolutely have some hair on it, a strip. You don't need to have the whole quilt, you feel me? But it might have a strip on there. I personally have had bad experiences with wax. I'm not opposed to wax. I would like to be a boss and get wax because I think that it is beneficial, especially in the summertime. However, I am a part of the shave gang. I'm just going to throw it out there. I got burned with some wax one time. It burned a piece of my labia. I swear to God on my kids that I don't have. And it traumatized me forever. That pain was immaculate. It's the pain that when you think about it, you twitch because, like, God shouldn't have even allowed you to feel something that intense. So from that experience, I have decided to, you feel me, keep it moving. Now, having hair does protect the coochie. You feel me? It does keep it safe. It does, you know, protect it in a sense. Not a full bush, though. So I do think that if you're going to have hair, it should be trimmed a little bit. You feel me? You got to keep it together. You got to make sure you're moisturizing that thing, exfoliating that thing, and you're keeping it low cut because you do want it to be easy for the man to navigate. I don't want a man to necessarily have to part my Red Sea to get to the promised land. I want him to be able to see the promised land off bat. You understand what I'm saying? And know that it's right there. But for y'all men to sit up here and cap, like y'all don't be eating no hairy cat, is fucking beyond me. Knowing good and goddamn well you done been munching on some carpet and you done a few times. That's okay. That's all right. Now, in terms of the men, are y'all getting y'all shit waxed? Absolutely fucking not. I don't want just a whole bunch of hair everywhere on the dick. You feel me? But you should have it trimmed too. Like, if you got hairy balls, you should want to trim your balls a little bit. You feel me? You might want them licked. You might want them sucked. And that's the same type of notion with the women. But yeah, if you grown ass man, baby, you gonna do what needs to be done. Hair is not gonna be a problem on a lady's private part because we are grown. However, women, ain't nothing wrong with you keeping that thing in tame. That don't mean you a hoe. That doesn't mean that you running the streets. That means that you taking care of your business. You keeping it nice. You keeping it together as it should be. And that's your fucking business, okay? That's your fucking business. If the man come in and complain about the hair, baby, you don't want that little boy any fucking way. You don't want him any fucking way. But, yeah, Pillow Talk tweets always lit. That just cracked me up, and it was a lot of women being honest on there. Again, like I said, I've never had a man say to me, your pussy tastes nasty, I'm not going to eat it. And I've never had a man say, you got to go get a wax right now. You got to go shave right now in order for me to do what I got to do. It's always been spread your legs. Just saying. Next up, I want to take a moment to shout out my girl, Trina Bina. I'm acting like Trina, my friend, my best friend. That's how I feel. But Trina did a tiny desk, okay? She did an NPR tiny desk, and I'm super happy for her. There was a little bit of backlash. A lot of people was hating, talking about why is Trina on a tiny desk. First off, bitch, why the fuck is she not? Nigga, that's Trina. I hate how we've forgotten how important Trina is to rap music, especially females. Trina paved a lane for a lot of your faves right now. And Trina don't never get the respect that she deserves. But first off, let me just say, baby, you look good. Baby, you look good. You 44 years old. Baby, you thick. Your skin looking right. The color combination was busting. You had the energy. You had the band going. Hair was on fleek. Trina, stop fucking playing the baddest bitch. So I was super happy to see Trina on there. I remember growing up, and obviously I shouldn't have been singing some of Trina's stuff. But Trina, although had her vulgar moments, always made you feel like a boss. Always made you feel like a boss bitch. Always made you feel like you could be independent. You could have your own money and that nigga money too. You know what I'm saying? You could have your outfit together and you could have the women hating or they could rock with you. You could go on a shopping spree and you don't need no nigga to do it. Like, she instilled a lot of bad bitch energy that a lot of y'all are trying to channel right now. That was Trina. That was Trina. Don't get it twisted. That was Trina, 305 queen, baby. So I'm very happy to see her on there. I feel like she's getting a lot more flowers. I would love to see Trina do, like, some new music. Like, I know she's probably dropped some newer things, but, like, she needs, like, a comeback album with, like, everybody on that hoe. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I want it to happen, Trina. However, we got to make it do what it do. I want that shit to happen. So shout out to you. Now, next up, y'all, we gotta get on Snowfall. Oh my god. Okay, Snowfall is definitely one of my favorite shows right now. I am a part of the Snowfall gang, okay? Franklin Saint, baby, baby. And we are in the last season of Snowfall right now. So there's a lot of stuff that's coming to a head. There's a lot of things we're seeing ending, full circle moments. So I did watch the last episode. I believe this was episode 6 that came out last week. There's only 10 episodes each season. So there'll only be 4 more left before the Snowfall Chronicles are over. I always got to give a shout out to John Singleton. R.I.P. that man, because he really helped implement the feel and the look of Snowfall. He was the original director for Snowfall. So he directed up until he passed. And yeah, he planted those seeds that created these stories that we all have fallen into. So right now we're seeing Teddy and Franklin come to a head, right? We're seeing the two people, the two main characters, if you will, get to that boiling point. And we see Franklin more so settle into his devilish role, if you will. If you've been watching the season, you know that Franklin has already sold his soul a million times before. But this previous episode, when Jerome died, I think put another level of, I don't know, like ruler to him. Obviously, he didn't kill Frank. He didn't kill Jerome. But the way the situation played up, you know, that being his uncle and them never really getting to a point of reconciliation, that's something that he's going to always take with him. And then for Louis to make it, because Lord had fucking mercy. And I don't want women to die. But Louis, to me, is a woman that, you know, we could have gotten rid of her. But for Louis to make it, Jerome to not make it, and for Louis and Franklin to have their fucked up relationship, it's just hard. It's just hard to see everything in. Now, one of the storylines to me that sticks out the most is Leon. And obviously, I don't want to, you know, spoil too much, but to see Leon go to the motherland, live there, rebirth himself there, and then come back and be right back in the shit that he got away from goes to show how trauma and the street life is a mentality. And we can leave, we can go here, we can go there, but it's going to always be within us unless we address it. It's going to always be within us unless we're able to let that shit go. And I was really hurt that Leon and Wanda came back. I did not want them to come back. I wanted their storyline to end on the motherland, and I wanted Wanda to have a baby, and I wanted them to be on the motherland, and Leon not even be thinking about what the fuck going on. But of course, Franklin ain't got nobody. He can only trust a few people in his life at this point, and Leon is one of them. And Leon also feels the same. So he brought his ass back. And seeing him have to kind of defend his title again, prove to everybody that he is, you know, that guy, it was heartbreaking for me. It was heartbreaking for me because it's something that he had to do, but he did not want to do it. And then, of course, Wanda's storyline, being a recovering addict, knowing that she can't stay, you know, in the projects because she may fall back into that trap. And Wanda had one of the most powerful storylines. First off, okay? Y'all slipping on that. She, I don't have the actress name, but she actually spoke about how Franklin and Leon fought for her role to stay. And fought for her place on Snowfall. And I think it was important because a lot of the times in these drug-filled movies, TV series, whatever, we see crackheads and we usually see them end up getting killed or go to jail. We never really see them turn their life around fully. We may see them recover for a little bit and then we find them overdosing somewhere. So I think with Wanda and with her being a woman and with her having had a relationship with Leon prior to becoming a crackhead, we see the evolution and the growth and how it is possible for you to change your life. And I love that she literally rebirthed herself. She got over her addiction. She went to the motherland and she rebirthed who she was and what her purpose was. Y'all can say whatever you want to say about me. That's not me. That was something I did, but it's not me. So I commend them for keeping her role and for us being able to see somebody overcome an addiction in the most positive way. Because we do need to see that also. Yeah, we want to see the kingpin make it. We want to see the kingpin, you know, get his money back and get his family good and get his family situated. But we also want to see the people that are a subject to the drugs live and survive and overcome and get to a place where they don't need to live off of the drugs anymore. So shout out to her. Shout out to her. So my hope is that Teddy gets killed because I'm tired of Teddy. Real shit. I'm tired of Teddy playing with our money. I'm hoping maybe we can get a 2-for-1 special. I wouldn't even be mad if they got Louie on up out of there. I'm just going to keep it funky. Okay? I'm ready for them to be done. I'm ready for Franklin to ride off in the sunset with his chocolate wife and his chocolate mama, and I want them to go have a chocolate family away from the bullshit. I want the happy ending for the drug dealer. Just saying. Last but not least, y'all, this is a very serious topic, if you will. So Marcus Houston, I'm sure you all know or may not know who that is. He is an artist. He was a big artist of the 90s. He played on Sister Sister. He was Roger on Sister Sister. He was in the group IMX, and he's also one of the secret founders, if you will, of B2K. Chris Stokes, I believe, is like his cousin or some shit like that. They're related in some type of way. So Marcus Houston, for one, has had a very rocky career. He was a child star, and he probably grew up too fast, too. And although he was successful in his career, successful in his music, there got to a point where all of that shit just stopped. And he disappeared for a very long time. And wind of his life became public again, and the secret of him and his wife became public knowledge. So recently he addressed his wife, who is 19, I believe now, and how he met her and how he's not a creep, if you will. So Marcus Houston is 36. She is 19, like I said. So in the video, he spoke about meeting her when she was 17 through mutual friends. I don't know what mutual friends you had that knew 17-year-olds, but okay. And them not even talking or really communicating until she turned 19, okay? So you were stalking her. You were grooming her. And then they got married. He said he figured out that they had a spiritual connection and that they got along mentally and that they both love God. Every time somebody do some fucked up shit, they always throw God into the mix. Just saying, God don't forgive. God don't, that's not a cover for you to continue to do bad shit because you guys both believe in God when you know that the shit's wrong. So they have a kid together, I believe. And there's just a lot of backlash. People are commenting and saying, you know, he's a pedophile and he's been preying on this girl and her family, you know, isn't around. Her father would never let her do this. So I, for one, don't agree. I think that it's gross that he married her and he's known her since she was 17 years old, and then he decided to marry her at 19 years old. Shorty couldn't even, you know, buy no bottles. She can't rent a car. She can't do a lot. I don't really know what else she has to offer you other than her body at this point, and being gullible because she doesn't know anything because she's a fucking kid. However, we have to think about some of the things that Marcus Houston has dealt with. And I'm not excusing what's going on by any means. That's not what I'm doing here. What I'm saying is that he has a lot of trauma that's happened to him that he's probably never addressed or he's trying to work through at this moment. I don't know if y'all remember when Raz B and all of them from B2K were coming out talking about being raped and being molested. Omarion never publicly stated that he was molested or raped, but Raz B and J Boog, who are other members of the group, have stated that they were raped and molested by Chris Stokes, who happens to be related to Marcus Houston. And there were also rumors stating that Marcus Houston and his group IMX were the first ones to be raped and that they groomed some of the members of B2K to also be raped. So there hasn't been any charges filed against Chris Stokes. These are allegations, stories, and accounts, you know, because Raz B has publicly stated this and J Boog has publicly stated it as well. So I think that he's still kind of fragile mentally due to suppressing some things that he's experienced, and he experienced it at a young age, which only makes it normal in a sense that he would be drawn to somebody that's young, because mentally he ain't got it. He's never really had to do a lot of adult things for himself because he's been a child star all his life, and now he's kind of reemerging back into the world publicly to a sense, and he's not understanding what the backlash is for, but we know that that shit is wrong. Now, Beyonce and Jay-Z is another couple that have also went down this road. So Beyonce mentioned before that she met Jay-Z when she was 18. I think obviously that was 17. Jay-Z didn't marry her until a couple years after, but they began dating a year later. Jay-Z is 12 years older than Beyonce. So when she was 18, he was about 31-ish. What's the difference between them and Marcus Houston and his wife? Now, I'm not downing Queen B and Jay-Z because they've made prosperous years together. They made a dynasty together. But this whole grooming of the girl into the wife that you want is very, very real. And it's something that we have to pay attention to, especially you young girls that are under the age of 25 that are 18 and up. That age gap right there, those years right there, is so important because you're so gullible. But you're grown enough to make certain decisions that you really shouldn't have the authority to make. And you have men that are in their 30s that have lived a little bit and that feel like they can mold you into the type of woman that they want. Feel like they can get some babies about you. Feel like they can get you to do what they want you to do. And then you won't even need to go and venture out anywhere else because, you know, he's giving you all the things that you think you need because you haven't experienced anything. So I feel like Jay-Z played a big part in the image of Beyonce. Let's just keep it 100. He was able to mold her and probably give her hell of ideas on how to be sexy and how to be this and how to be that. I'm sure. I'm almost certain. And to me, in those types of situations, that's what it is. So I'm going to be candid with y'all. I'm going to be candid with y'all right now. As if I haven't already been, right? So when I was 18 years old, I was fucking with a man that was 36. I met him at a relative's funeral. And he went out of his way to follow me to my car. I had saw him during the repast. You know, we kind of looking at each other, but I'm like, whatever, he grown. I'm not thinking about it. So I'm getting ready to go to my car, and he's like, who are you, basically, and talking to me, and woo-woo. Mind you, I'm 18, body fully developed. Let's not play with it. Okay, I'm looking real cute. But I'm 18 years old. I'm a senior in high school. I haven't even graduated high school yet. I still have another semester to go. We ended up having sex multiple times. And we were doing it so secretive because obviously it was wrong. I didn't feel like I was being abused at that time, but looking back on it now, I definitely can see how I was gullible in that situation and how it could have ended really bad for me. Because he was, you know, coming inside of me. We weren't really using condoms like that. It was just a very fucked up situation. No shade. I'm keeping it 100 with you. And years later, long down the line, eventually I stopped talking to him because he started becoming a stalker and he wanted to meet my father. And I knew at that point, if he met my dad, he was going to go to jail. So I said, you know what? Let's just dead it, my boo. Let's, you know, this has been fun. Let's keep it funky. Plus, I was getting ready to go to college. I just had to dead everything. I knew the shit was wrong, but I'm a kid at that time. I'm not knowing the magnitude of it. So years down the line, he ends up going to jail for pedophilia and molesting a girl that was like 14 years old. By this time, he's like 41. So grooming is real, right? And taking advantage of a young girl is real. Feeling like you can give her everything you want to get what you want is real. And I'm thankful that at that time, I was able to be safe enough to get up out of there, but to kind of recognize that this is not really right. I shouldn't be worried about you meeting my dad, but because I know how old you are, I know that that's going to cause problems. But for a lot of girls that don't have their dad around or that don't think like that, they don't see anything wrong with it until years later down the line. So I don't know how to feel. I think that we should cancel this whole when you're 18, you're legal to get married because you don't really know, you know? And we shouldn't be promoting a woman being younger than her husband or a woman being younger than the man she's with. I get it. I know that you may be attracted to someone that's older, but baby, you got so much time to meet niggas. Like, it's crazy. You know what I'm saying? You have so many opportunities to find whomever, but you got to experience some things in life first. You got to go through some shit first. You can't do that if you got a man that's already lived his life trying to control your life. Like, it's been crazy, right? It's been a lot of crazy shit that's been going on. So I had to rant, rave, get some of that shit up off my chest. Appreciate y'all for tuning in with your girl. Y'all already know this is a top podcast in the Midwest, but specifically Chicago's best. Keep it locked in the love and light. Peace out.